Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
My thanks to Tom and Sandy and Jamie and Amber and choir for all the beautiful music this morning, honoring those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And there were also those who were willing by simply joining the armed forces. And I would like to recognize you this morning. If you are a veteran or maybe you are currently serving in our nation's military, I'd like for all of you that are currently, any of you that are currently serving and all of you that have served, I'd like for you to stand at this time, please. If you would stand. Give them a hand. Thank you. You can be seated. I am honored that you are here this morning, and I want to express my personal gratitude to each of you for your service. You were willing, if called upon, to make that ultimate sacrifice. But that was not without other sacrifices that you did make. The intensity of the training and the boot camp, the being away for your family, and for some of these folks, years at a time, definitely sacrifices made on the part of all of our veterans. This morning, I want to talk about the fact that freedom's never free. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, it uses some interesting and familiar language. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Isn't that interesting? Liberty, bondage, freedom. That's being spoken of in Scripture in a spiritual sense. And we know those terms as applied to our nation in a political sense. And this morning, I want you to see how those are intertwined one with another. First of all, as we think about our political freedom. When you think about America, there is one word that is always associated with America. It is what we are known for. It is the first word that usually comes to everyone's mind when you think of America, you think of the United States of America, and you think about what we stand for, and that one word is freedom. Freedom. The world knows that the United States of America stands for freedom. And so important is that embedded in our culture. So important is that, that it is also embedded in our Constitution. The amendments to our Constitution, known as the Bill of Rights. Those men and women that gave their lives, those men and women who just stood, they served for freedom. So important is it that it is ingrained permanently in our Constitution. And the Bill of Rights succinctly states what you guys and what you ladies fought for, what you defended. Now, the Constitution itself as a whole just outlines how our government functions. It talks about the three branches of government. It talks about, you know, how old you have to be the president of the United States. And it's just very practical. Here's how our government is going to function. But the freedoms, the freedoms that we value, that we cherish, are spelled out in what we call the Bill of Rights. Do you know what it says? When's the last time you read it? And I don't say that to put down on you, because how many of us, how often do we read the Bill of Rights? Guess what? You're going to right now. I want you to know what these fellas and ladies fought for. I want you to understand very clearly. And I think you might be surprised at how practical it is, what they were fighting for. It really is practical, the freedoms that are laid out in our Bill of Rights. And I think if we're not careful, we are so used to them that we might take them for granted. But back then when they were written, they weren't taken for granted. In fact, they were abused, and that's the reason we're putting them in. We're putting it in writing. And we're going to vote on it, and we're going to adapt it as part of our Constitution, because back then, specifically, they knew what they were fighting for. Consider the Bill of Rights, the 10 amendments to the Constitution. Amendment number 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Be careful that we don't take that for granted, that we can assemble as we please. Do you know in many countries through the years, people assemble and thugs come in, or soldiers come in and break them up? They cannot do that here. It happens all the time in other countries around the world through history. The thugs that are in charge, the elitists that are in charge, they feel threatened, and they will go in and deny people their freedom of speech, their freedom to assemble, their freedom of worship. That's what you men and women were fighting for. That's what the soldiers have fought for through the years. The Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. I hope you understand the significance of that, and I hope you're not being brainwashed by the liberals. I hope to goodness you understand the importance of this. I was shocked, I guess you might say, when I read a quote from Thomas Jefferson about the right to keep and bear arms. Here's his quote. This is profound, folks. Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Think about it for a second. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. It's in our Bill of Rights that law-abiding citizens have the right to keep and bear arms. Number 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Now, you don't even relate to that one, but they sure did at the time of the Revolution, when British troops were put in your house and you feed them and you keep them, whether you want them there or not, whether you agree with what they're there to do or not. That's what they faced back then. They wrote it into the Bill of Rights. Like, you're not going to do that. Things are different now. This is America, the home of the free. The 4th Amendment. The right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. They wrote that in there. Why? Because it wouldn't be unusual in the middle of the night, soldiers come busting in your house and hauling your husband off, your wife off, or ransacking your house looking for this or that. That's the way it was, but that's not the way it is now. That's what you men and you ladies were defending. The 5th Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. Fellow citizens have to see the evidence brought against you. Well, hasn't it always been that way? No. That's the reason they put it in here. Thugs could just, that are in positions of power, would just falsely accuse people of this or that, and you would have no say about it. That's the world in which people live. That's the world that they knew. Except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or the public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. If you're found innocent, you're innocent. You can't be retried. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken from public use without just compensation. That had to be put in there. Because that was the world in which they lived. Things like that were being abused. Amendment number 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. Well, isn't that the way it's always been? Again, can I say it this way? No. No, that isn't. Don't take this for granted. And be aware there are people that would like to take these rights away, as we will explain in a moment. That's why they have to be defended. You say, well, who would want to take those rights away? Lots of people, for lots of reasons, would love to take that away. And all we got to do is stick our heads in the sand, and they will be taken away. By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and the cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses. In other words, this just can't be made up and brought against you, against him. To have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Number 7, in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Number 9, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And number 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. What you veterans in this room fought for was real. It was important. It has been necessary. And this is which others have died for. Thomas Jefferson, if I could quote him again, said this: experience hath shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have, in time and by slow operations, perverted it into tyranny. There is always the possibility of freedom being denied. So freedom has a price. You have to fight for this. The men and women of the American Revolution had to fight for this. Yes, understand, don't be naive, Myo Baptist Church. There are enemies of freedom. Say, well, who could be an enemy of freedom? Well, let's just consider real quickly. Number 1, threats come from worldly philosophies of socialism, communism, fascism, and yes, even liberalism. Those are all threats to freedom. Real philosophies that people buy into. People write books about it. People bear arms to try to have their way. Threats also come from tyrants, dictators, elitists, and again, just thugs. Thugs who have power and care not a whit about you or your family. Threats come from the carnal hearts of men, corruption, repression, and a quest for unbridled power. There are real enemies to freedom and liberty and justice. Freedom is so valued by some and so hated by others that wars have to be fought if men and women and their children and their grandchildren are going to have the freedom simply to assemble. The freedom simply to speak their mind. The freedom to worship God as they see fit. Thomas Jefferson even said, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." Look behind me and you'll see a list of the wars that have been fought and the over 1 million men and women who went off to war and came home in a casket to defend the freedoms that are outlined in our Bill of Rights and to defend it from those thugs and tyrants who would take them from you. Approximately 1.5 million military have been killed. This next number doesn't sound right to me. Approximately 1.5 million military wounded. It's got to be way more than that. Far more are injured than are killed, even with it being a million and a half. And approximately 57 million have served in our nation's military. Freedom is not free. There is a price to freedom because there is evil out there. There is repression out there. There's tyranny out there. There are elitists out there that know better than you. There are definitely thugs out there. Just go to Central America. Go to so many other places, not just there. It happens in Europe. You have the Mussolinis of the world. You have the Hitlers of the world. Do I need to say any more? Freedom has to be fought for. And it has to be defended. But let's go back to the verse that we were looking at. We had that same terminology used not only politically, but used spiritually. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." As political freedom is never free, understand this, spiritual freedom isn't free. Spiritual freedom isn't free. That verse says that we have liberty and freedom, and Christ hath made us free. As men have had to die to protect and give us political freedom, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died to give us personal, spiritual freedom. And if you think about it, just as your sacrifices in the military grants us political freedom, the sacrifice of Christ gives us spiritual freedom or spiritual rights. And I want to list some of the rights that you have that Christ made possible for you. Now, when I talk about spiritual rights, I'm not talking about inherent rights that you deserve or that you've earned. Because we don't deserve any spiritual rights. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. When I talk about our spiritual rights, like I talked about our political rights, these are the rights bestowed upon us by Christ through His sacrifice and through His grace. You think about the spiritual rights that have been bestowed upon you because of Christ and His sacrifice. He's given you the right to go to heaven. He's given you the right to petition God in prayer. He's given you the right to possess the Holy Spirit. He's given you the right and the privilege to be a part of His church. He gives you the right to understand the Holy Bible. He gives you the right and the privilege to proclaim Christ to the world.
He gives you the right to discern the truth about where we came from, why we are here, what is right and wrong, and where we are going. He gives you the right to ask for forgiveness from sins. He gives you the right to possess a deep and abiding joy and peace that only comes in Christ. And the right to be a participant just in things like baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are not inherent rights that we've earned or that we deserve. I don't mean rights in that sense. I mean they are rights that you have, and you do have the right once you're saved, once you accept the ultimate death, burial, and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He had to fight for our spiritual liberty, as is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. There are enemies of political freedom, as we mentioned, but there's enemies of spiritual freedom. Number one, the world hates spiritual freedom. Rosie O'Donnell hates your spiritual freedom, to name one among many. The flesh hates spiritual freedom. Because the Bible says if you don't have spiritual freedom, what? Their terminology, the Bible's terminology, you are in bondage. Right now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you may not realize it. You are in bondage. You are in bondage. The world hates spiritual freedom. The flesh hates spiritual freedom. And the devil hates spiritual freedom. But because of Jesus, as men died on the battlefield to make us politically free, he died on the cross to make us spiritually free. Not of a human bondage of a master, but the bondage of the world, the bondage of the flesh, the bondage of the devil. And it's for that reason he battled temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. He battled fatigue. He battled rejection often. He battled betrayal often. He battled deception around him. He battled confusion among the few followers that he had. He battled libel and slander against him. And on the cross, he battled death, hell, and the grave. And as our political freedom has been attained and defended by the sacrifice and ultimate sacrifices of so many, our spiritual freedom, because there are enemies of spiritual freedom, had to come at the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who was perfect in every way and sinless, and only went about doing good. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This morning, two things and we're done. Be thankful for our veterans and for those who've made the ultimate sacrifice for our political freedoms. They are under assault. We saw that in 9/11. Whereas that oppressive false religion would love to take over and deny us our freedoms. We thank you, veterans, today. We thank the families of those who have stayed home while their loved ones went across the foreign lands. We're thankful to those families who, through the years, have lost members of their families. But also be thankful for Jesus Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice for our spiritual freedoms. Whether political or spiritual, they are uniquely intertwined. So important to understand that. And so important for us this Memorial Day weekend to acknowledge, particularly those and those families that made the ultimate sacrifice. And also to remember Jesus Christ. We are so blessed in this country to have both political freedom and through Jesus Christ, our spiritual freedom. And this should be a weekend of gratitude to both. The language used in the scripture, interestingly, is language we're familiar with when we talk about patriotism. Uniquely intertwined. We are so grateful to be blessed by both.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.